Before there was a human race, Adam was not yet created. Before God returned this planet to a habitable form, before he spoke the universe into existence, there was no angelic host. He had not yet created them. There was nothing anywhere except him alone. Except him alone. And he brought the whole of creation into existence by the word of his power. He truly is the King of glory. He truly is the King of glory. Now, many of us may not realize this, but when you look out into the universe, into the night sky, it doesn't stop at the moon. It doesn't stop at the sun. It stretches out 92 billion light years, which is incomprehensible to the human mind. And the Bible says he simply spoke the word, and the universe stood fast. Him and him alone. We take this for granted. We get up in the morning and we realize there's an ocean on either side of the United States. And on a rainy day, we look up and there's clouds, which is a literal ocean hanging over our heads. 16 million tons of water hit the earth every second. He simply spoke the word and created a firmament that you and I can live in. There's none like our God. There's none like our God. Let me just add this. The astrophysicist Neil Tyson, who is an atheist, he said, let me get this straight. The Christians are saying that of the entire universe in which the earth is less than a speck of dust, and a human being is less than a speck of dust, and the Christian position is that the God who created all of this cares about your individual life. I go, yeah, that's what's so incredible about it. Hallelujah, that he set his love upon us. Come on, do you love Jesus this morning? Just give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What if you would just right now turn to your neighbor, shake your neighbor's hand, find somebody, hug their neck, tell them that you're glad that they came to Christ Unveiled this morning. Won't you do that? That's it. Just show somebody the love of God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wonderful, wonderful Savior. God is good. You may be seated. We just want to thank you for coming out to share with us in fellowship this morning. Those watching by webcast, we appreciate you being with us. I'm just glad to be saved this morning. I'd rather be right here, right now, in the midst of God's house than to have the best bag of dope in Dallas. I'd rather be right here. There's not a hospital I'd rather be in than to be right here, right now. Hallelujah. You know, it's a remarkable how God can change your heart. If we cooperate with him, he can change you. When you look back, you'll realize there's no way I could have gotten here had it not been for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to ask you this morning, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 13. And I'm not going to be before you terribly long this morning, but I wanted to minister this sermon to remind us the importance of acknowledging God's will for our life. Acknowledging God's way, his moral code, and acknowledging his word. You know, God is absolutely unknowable. You could not know God at all except he revealed himself. And in the pages of this book, God has revealed himself and much of what heaven is about, much of what hell is about. But most importantly, he has revealed his will for our lives. And this passage of scripture in Proverbs 13, verse 15, it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning thanking you, Lord, for your presence in this place, thanking you for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. We'd ask you that your presence, that your conviction hang over this congregation here in the room, across the online experience, that you would touch lives, that this word would be a conviction to our hearts, that we might, to a greater degree, align ourselves with your purpose. Father, we thank you as well for the offering that we're going to receive today across the internet, here in the worship room. Bless every family, every individual in support of this ministry, and help us to use the funds to take the gospel to the entirety of the world. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, and we love you for it. Amen and amen. Good understanding giveth favor. Good understanding giveth favor. It means that when you have an understanding of what is good, which again, what is good? God's will, God's way, and God's word. Part of our job as Christians is to come to a greater knowledge, a greater understanding of God's way. And as we grow in that understanding, as we grow, understand his will, way, and word, favor comes to our lives. Favor is unmerited divine assistance. It's the grace of God is extended to our lives, not just because we know his will or his word or his way, but because we know it, and to the extent that we're able, we're walking in it. Does that make sense? It means that it's not just the hearers of the word that favor comes to, but it's the actual doers of the word. And now, none of us are perfect in this. But God, when God looks at me and when he looks at you, he is not looking for perfection. If he was looking for perfection, he would look at Christ. But Christ's perfect righteousness clothes you and I if you are born again. But in addition to that, it's important that we live lives that are in total cooperation with the Holy Spirit, who was wanting us to walk in a greater understanding of what God wants for us. Now, I dare say that there's not a Christian in this room or watching across the online experience that would dare to say, I am perfectly walking in God's will, word, and his way for my life. There are things that all of us know, yeah, I'm not coming up to the measure in this area of my life. And God wants even that area to be aligned with his word. How many understand? Sanctification is not easy. No. Salvation is easy. Sanctification, not only is it a long process, but the worst part of it is, as you're walking through this process, you have to look at all your failures. You have to see all your own stumblings. And you have to realize, without him, I can't do nothing. So the scripture says then that good understanding giveth favor, but contrawise, the way of the transgressor, oh, it's hard. It's hard. Have you ever heard this saying, the streets are hard? Has anybody ever heard that's hard out there in the streets? That's because that's the lives of transgressors to a great degree. See, if you're living for God, you shouldn't be in the streets. Wow, that was kind of soft. If you're living for God, you shouldn't be in the streets. If you don't work third shift by 10 o'clock, you should be at the house. You shouldn't be at the club. You shouldn't even be at a house party. If you're living for God, you should be living tight. And here's the thing, is that good understanding of God's will, way, and word for your life, it brings the grace of God to you. But the way of the transgressor, that's someone who knows the way to walk before God, but transgresses that, that's a hard road to hoe. Yeah, that makes life difficult. And it doesn't mean that God is making it hard on you. It doesn't mean the life of the transgressor, that God is making their life hard. That's not what it means. It means God's judgment is baked into creation. In other words, if you wanted to act a fool and jump off a 3-story building, it's not God making you fall. It's baked into the creation. You will never go up. You will always meet with the judgment for the folly of stepping off the edge of the building. And so today I just want to remind all of us through the scripture that we live in a world that is contrary to God. And that contrary mindset, it overlaps into the house of God. Because there are many times that we as Christians, we can know this is what God wants for me, but I really like this. And so I'm going to put one foot over here, and I'm going to put one foot over here, and I'm going to live my life straddling the fence. The way of the transgressor is hard. How many of you ever got caught like that, straddling the fence? Just be honest. Man, it's difficult, isn't it? And God will snatch you up short. He said, because whom I love, I scold and I chastise. And he snatches up sometimes short and touches our reality to help us remember, walk in understanding so grace will continually flow into your life. Now, Paul had to do this to a man by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul had everything good happening in his life. He was the chief prospect for the Pharisees. His education was over the top. He was going to be the next Gamaliel. His education was so high. And he was zealous for the law. And so when this Christian thing started happening, he took the first front position. He said, we're going to crush this thing. And he destroyed many people. He caused saints to blaspheme, some to be put to death. Many believe, we know he was there when Stephen was stoned, but many believe that he was the one that gave the word, do it, because they said he was consenting. And Paul was met by Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. In the first confrontation that he had with God. You know, it's a hard thing when everything's going well for you. Paul would have had money. He had position. He had power. He had prestige. But he didn't have Christ. And he's going to persecute Christians. He's on his high horse. He's got men that he's leading. He is the man. And on that Damascus Road, a flash of light. And although the others didn't see it, he saw Jesus Christ. And here's what Jesus said to him, Acts 9:4. It says, he fell to the earth. In other words, the glory of God just slapped him off that horse to the ground. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. And here's what he told him. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. It's hard for you. Now, that goes to you and I as well. It's hard for us when we kick against the pricks. Now, this term, the pricks, what it means is that the farmer has an ox on his cart, and he's trying to go through the gate, and the ox doesn't want to go, and so the ox will sometimes kick his back foot against the cart and bust it up. They're strong animals. And so what the farmer would have to do is get a sharpened stave and put it right there where the ox kicks, so when he kicks it, it hurts him, and he stops kicking. But many times the ox would kick that stave, and it would hurt, and he'd get angry, and he'd kick it again. And Jesus tells Paul, it's hard for you. It's not hard for God. It's hard for you when you kick against the pricks, meaning that you know God's direction for your life. His will and word says this, but you prefer something else. So you try to vacillate between the two, a lifestyle half in and half out. And what happens? The judgment that's baked into creation, it begins to impact your life. I can remember as a young man, hadn't been saved. I was 27, 28, 26. From the time I was in my 20s and most of my 20s. I had everything I wanted as a young sinner. I was young, body was strong. I made a lot of money for that time, that years ago. I had all the dope I want, bags of cocaine, bags of weed, all the women I want. I had everything that I wanted. And then one day God stepped into my life and told me, it's going to be hard for you to kick against the pricks. Because even though I was young and I had all these things, I was always sick. Young, healthy body, but always sick. Always has something wrong. And most of it was all the dope that I was smoking. All the alcohol that I was drinking. Now, I know there's nobody in here that's gone through that except me, right? Am I the only one? And what all of us should have realized is that the lifestyle that you live, it causes bad things in your life if it deviates from God's way, will, and his word. The judgment is baked in to creation. I watch the world now as they go headlong into a deeper LGBTQ, deeper marijuana about to be legal across the nation. Alcohol already legal across the nation. Sexual immorality at an all-time high. Our music pulsates with sexual innuendos. And I look at us as a nation, and I realize, well, this is why life is so hard. It's baked into the creation. When Israel did the same thing you and I do now, God would allow a famine to come upon them. God would allow the elements, the storms to come upon them and wreck their economy. And we are right in the same place now because we are trying to go our own way rather than to go the way of God. See, God's life is a simple life. It's a simple life. It's not hustle and bustle. It's not run here and run there. And many times we live those kind of lifestyles, and our stress level goes straight up. Now we're dealing with anxiety. Can't sleep at night. You know, can't drink caffeine because you're already all wired up and you go off on somebody. And you know what you got to do? Find somewhere and just sit down. Hey, man, just sit down and relax yourself. So Jesus tells Paul, it's hard for you. Now, notice what he says. Paul, it's hard for you. It's not hard for Jesus. If we live ragged lives and judgment comes upon us, that don't hurt God at all. He said, it's hard for you when you kick against the pricks. Notice the word pricks is plural. It means it's not just one stave waiting for you when you deviate from God's way. It means you're going to have staves all, you're going to be bumping into everywhere. And that's exactly what it's like when you have a knowledge of God and you live contrary to it. It makes you a transgressor. It's like if you walk up to the farmer's fence, barbed wire fence, and it has a big sign right there that says, no trespassing. It means don't go past this. And then when you climb the fence and jump over it anyway, now you're a trespasser. That's transgression. So God has a sign, his moral code, don't go past this, don't do this. And when you and I do it, it makes us transgressors, and now the hardships of life begin to impact us. The way I live now is just better than the way I lived in my 20s. It's just better, it's more relaxing. I don't have a bunch of issues. I sleep well at night. My wife, she jokes to me about it. When my head hits the pillow, within 5 minutes, I'm gone. I'm out. It don't take me no 15, 20 minutes or 3 hours. Boom. As soon as I close my eyes, I'm gone. Excuse me, let me get something to drink. So then if we're walking contrary to where we should be walking, bad things happen in our lives. Isaiah would say it this way, Isaiah 45 and verse 9, talking about the same thing, he says, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. The word woe, it means judgment or calamity. To him that's striving against God, that's fighting. I know God's will for my life. I know God wants me to do this or to stop doing that, but I'm wrestling with him. The scripture says, woe to that person. Now you can strive with the next passage, let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. You can strive with other men, but when you begin to strive against God, we get ourselves in trouble. Now, if you go to Psalms chapter 2, the second Psalms, it speaks at length on this very topic. It's a very short psalm, but it says very concisely. It's easy to understand. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Now, when you look at society as a whole, not just in the church, but all of society, God is hated so bad that he is not allowed in the public square. Our leaders have actually made laws that the church cannot speak into political topics because they don't want the morality that the church is supposed to have to flood into the public airways. And so the world at large, our society at large, It's in a rage. The heathen are raging and imagining a vain thing. Here's the vain thing that is being imagined. That we could possibly live our life without God's constraints. That we could possibly, and people are trying to do it. Trying to live their life. I can do whatever that I want to. I'm my own man. No, you're not. Every one of us is a created being, and we are accountable to our creator. And just because you say, well, I don't believe in a creator, doesn't matter. You're still accountable. And on the day that you stand before him, suddenly you're going to be, well, yeah, I believe now. I'm sorry, it's too late. But nature screams at us that this is a created order. You can call it higher intelligence, whatever. I call him Jesus. He created all things, and we're accountable to him. And the psalmist said, why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, meaning the leaders of the nations, the kings of the earth and the rulers, they take counsel together. They are in a conspiracy. And here's where things get dangerous for you and I. If you turn on the TV, what you're listening to, what you're watching is anti-God, whatever that it is. Whether there's nothing but evil coming out of Hollywood. There's nothing but evil coming out of the NBA, NFL, all of them. You say, well, what's wrong with sports? Have you not noticed that your brightest lights in the sports are women beaters? Dope smokers, every week one of these stars are getting busted doing something. It's quiet in here. Somebody said, well, are you saying sports is wrong? I'm saying that you're addicted to it. It's an idol. And it's going to cause hard things to happen in your life. Because our attention, primary attention, should be on God's will, God's word, and God's way. Man, it's quiet in here. It's not even Super Bowl Sunday. See, and this is how Satan works. Satan works in this exact way. He gives you something you're into that you like so he can keep pulling you out there. And never mind that your favorite basketball player is anti-God and a lunatic. You know, they're either busted with dogs that are fighting, busted with, you know, selling dope on the side, already multimillionaires, and can't come off the street. And we get into the mindset, well, I like him. Yeah, he messed up on that, but I like him. And little by little, you're drifting out there. Little by little. Look what has happened to our music. I'm just off my message now. Look at what has happened to our music. There used to be a time that people, when they sang, it was because they had talent. You don't even have to sing no more. All you have to do is talk filth and make it rhyme. And some of it's not even good rhymes. And what they're doing, many people don't know this. Our prior worship leader told me this. There are certain chords that they can put in the music that impact the human nervous system in a certain way. That's why you can listen to their little jingles, some of their songs, and it just stays in your mind for days on end because those chords have impacted your nervous system and they can cause you to actually have a type of an addiction to it. I saw a thing, what do you call it? A meme. It was the woman doing sign language to Rihanna's song, Better Have My Money. And I was the sign woman, she was getting down. But that song stayed in my mind. I would say, man, I got to go listen to some. I need to go put on some Christian music and wipe this. But even our music now is devilish, hellish, sensual. And we, as God's people, we slowly slide. There's some of us sitting right in this room. You're playing the beats right now in your car. As soon as you get in the car out of church, the beats turn on. And we're slowly being seduced. We're slowly being pulled out away from God's way because we like the beat. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, meaning against God and against Christ. What it's saying is that the rulers of the nations, the kings of the countries are all in a conspiracy. We will not let Christ have influence in the affairs of the nation. You have the United Nations. There's no Christ in there. There's nothing about God's way in there. They have court battles going on in the States on a constant basis. We no longer want the Ten Commandments in our courtrooms. We no longer want a cross in the public way because, oh, we have to have separation of church and state, which is simply a lie because that's not in our Constitution or in the Declaration of Independence. That phrase is not there. One of the signers said it in one of their debates, and they've taken it and made it into something to push God into the back behind the veil. But you and I, our lives, we should be bringing God into full focus, bringing right up front and center in our lives. Everything we do, God, is about you. Thou shalt have no other gods before the Lord thy God. And when you push him in the back room, it's easy for basketball to become your God or football or the movies that come out of Hollywood or anything else that the nation is given. Listen, this is what you have to understand. In God's church, you have a worship team. And you have a preacher, and their job is to usher you into the presence of God. In the world, you have the talking heads on television. Their job is to usher you into the anti-God culture. You have Hollywood singing. All of their songs are anti what we do on this stage. It pulls you into the anti-God. Their evangelists are the activists that are causing people to move away from God, and they are targeting your children. Because your children, you know, when you're young, you're dumb. You're smart, but you're not experienced. And you're gullible. And it's easy to get pulled into things. All of us in this room, we was young at some time, and you got pulled into things you shouldn't have got pulled into. And the whole world now is in a conspiracy to keep the masses away from Jesus. It goes on to say, this is the hope of the kings of the world and the rulers. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What they're saying is, let us throw off all moral constraints. If a man wants to sleep with another man, that should be publicly acceptable. If a man wants to sleep with two women, one man, and a puppy dog, that should be fine. That's his business. Listen, it's getting weird, man. Have you noticed? And what that's really saying, that's a lifestyle. It's saying, let us break their bands or something. We don't want the constraints of God upon us. We don't want the moral code of God upon us. We want to do whatever we want to do. Verse 4 says, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He that sits upon the throne of creation will laugh, because there is simply no way that you and I can live without God. Have you ever noticed you don't have to count your breaths? That God put wisdom in your body, it breathes all by itself. You don't have to keep remembering, oh, I haven't blinked my eyes. My eyes must be dry by now. I better blink them. Your body has intelligence. It blinks all by itself. And there's many things your body does that you don't even have to think about mentally. Your body just does it. He put that wisdom in your body. He can cut that off just like that. Just like that. You're dependent upon him for your next breath. For your next thought. The electronics, the fire in your brain, your snaps, whatever they call the firing in your brain. All of that is controlled by God. And many times we dare to try to walk away from his will as though we could actually do anything outside of his will. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them with his sore displeasure. It's one thing to run into the judgments that are baked into the creation. Those are there to tell you not this way, go the other way. Those are there just for parameters that you have to walk within if you're going to have a good life. But at this point, we live so long fighting the will, way, and word of God until finally he does speak, but he speaks unto them in his wrath and vexes them with his sore displeasure. This is what the tribulation period is all about. You know, I hope that we don't have to see tribulation. I believe that we'll be raptured out of here before then, but I'm always ready for whatever happens. But in the tribulation period, I've got to rush here. There will be, it's caused by demon spirits that will sting men. And the men will burn with in pain for 6 months. So if you get stung, now you can get stung any number of times, but if you do for 6 months, you're going to be in pain that's so bad that you'll gnaw on your tongue to make you not think about the pain that you're in. Have you ever bit your tongue? And he cuts off the supply of water on the planet. Judgment falls in such a harsh way. That's what this is talking about. He speaks to them in his wrath and vexes them with his sore displeasure. And when it's all said and done, and man has thrown his tantrum and God has punished them sorely, verse 6, yet, regardless of all of that, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill. Jesus is still going to be Lord. Not going to be. He's Lord right now. He's still going to sit on the throne in Jerusalem, and his moral code will go across the earth, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. That's still going to happen. The only thing that doesn't happen is you don't get to be in on it if you are set that you're going to walk contrary to his way. I don't know about you this morning. I want what Jesus wants. And sometimes, I'll be honest, sometimes I'm not strong enough to walk in it fully like I want to, but I'll hobble in it until I grow up. And I'm asking God, don't cast me out, Lord. Just help me. And I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, I've done my best to share this message with your people this morning. I ask you, Lord, that you would just bring this to our remembrance over and over. The way of the transgressor is hard. Lord, that we don't have to walk in a way that's contrary to you, that we could walk in good understanding of your word, your will, and your way. Father, right now across this room, I ask you for Holy Ghost conviction. You know the areas of our lives that we fall so short. Search us, O God. Search us, probe us this morning. Lay your convicting finger upon every heart, beginning with mine, Jesus. Here in the worship room, across the webcast, oh God, put the finger of your conviction upon every heart and help us to come up to a higher place in you. Help us to be more focused upon the things of God and not so much focused upon the things of this world that are soon to perish. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet with me? You know where you're at. You know where your struggles are. You know what you're dealing with. And you don't have to tell anybody, but why don't you just lift that thing up to God right now? Just lift it up to God. Say, Lord, I know this area of my life is out of your will. Lord, it's contrary to your way and it contradicts your word. Lord, I come to you this morning and I ask you that you would help me, strengthen me, empower me, God, that I turn from my own wicked ways and I turn with my whole heart to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you this morning. Come on, sometimes it's just our thought life. Sometimes there can just be things within our minds that cause us to move away from the things of God. Give it to him this morning, won't you? He's not angry at you. He wants to help you. But this is the hour. If you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. But just give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God is a good God. Wonderful Savior. We're just going to hold here one moment as people bring themselves to the very throne of grace. Whatever it is you're burdened with, just give it to Jesus right now. We don't have to rush. Lord, this area of my life, I'm faltering, I'm failing. This area of my life is so difficult to lay it aside. But God, this morning I bring it to the foot of the cross. And I ask you to lift the burden. Lift the burden off of me. Lord, that I might walk in the newness of life. That has captured my attention. Help me to cast it away. Lord, that you might be front center, that my whole attention might be upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just love you today. You are both our Savior and our Sovereign. We humble ourselves at your feet and ask you, Lord, we ask you for help. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Hallelujah. God is good. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Before we dismiss you this morning, you can be seated. There's something that we do from time to time, and we have people that visit the ministry, hear what we preach in, feel the atmosphere that's at Christ's Unveiled, and just say, hey, I want to be a member here. I want to be part of this. And so today we're going to open the doors to the ministry. If you've been coming and that's in your heart that, hey, I like Christ's Unveiled. I want this to be my church. We certainly want it to be your church. But if you're in that mindset today, I want you to just lift up your hands if you'd like to join the fellowship of Christ's Unveiled today. God sees that hand. Amen. Is there any others? Is there any others? God is so good. Come on, give my sister a hand clap this morning. We're going to bring her into the fellowship. Sister Lincoln, would you come with me, please? We won't embarrass you, I promise. Just a little bit. No, I'm serious. We won't embarrass you at all. If you would stand right here, we just want to make a vow to you. First, let me say that we're so glad that you're coming into this fellowship. You've been coming for a while, and we appreciate that. And we want you to be part of us. And so today, we're going to make a commitment to you that as long as you come here, we'll never deceive you. We'll never manipulate you. To the very best of our ability, we will always give you the Word of God. That's our commitment to you. In terms of spiritual things, you are safe here. We will give you the Word. Thank you so much. You. Come on, give her a hand clap. You are now a member of Christ Unveiled Church. Would you, from this side, just start coming around. Come on, make a line. Let's just greet my sister into the fellowship. Hallelujah. Just give her a hug, shake her hand, and let her know she's welcome.
And again, we just appreciate everybody being out with us today. And I just want to say, you know, it's a simple thing to trust God. It's a simple thing to walk in his ways. It just always isn't easy. And so we just want to be encouraged to trust God and allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives. And at this time, you are dismissed. Amen.